Some bedrock American companies are making announcements about new products and new strategies this week at three major trade shows.
In San Francisco, at the Macworld Expo today, Apple Computer unveiled a new iPod cell phone. It's called the iPhone.
And the Consumer Electronics Show is underway in Las Vegas, where Microsoft's Bill Gates announced a plan to put the Windows operating system in car dashboards. More about those shows in a few minutes.
First, to the North American International Auto Show in Detroit, which has turned into a real showcase for General Motors this year. They've unveiled several new cars, including one that's called the Chevy Volt.
A little sound effect there from the car's unveiling. The Volt is a plug-in electric car that GM says would go 40 miles on the first charge before a gasoline engine kicks in to recharge the battery as you drive. They're estimating it might be available in 2010.
GM also won the two biggest awards at the show, Car of the Year for the Saturn Aura and Truck of the Year for the Chevy Silverado.
All the glitz from the auto show, though, is not enough to glaze over big questions about GM's future. The company lost more than $10 billion in 2005 and is expected to post another big loss for 2006. Still, when GM chairman Rick Wagoner spoke to me from the International Auto Show today, he was quite upbeat.
We've actually increased the amount of capital spending on new projects, on new products over the last couple of years. And fortunately, at the show, people are seeing the outcome of that commitment, even in tight financial times. So today, for example, we showed the new Chevy Malibu and I think got a great reaction. Yesterday, the new Cadillac CTS, we won the car and truck of the year. I think that all says that in the car and truck business, you've got to be willing to invest the money up front, and despite financial times being a little tough, we've stuck to our guns there.
The investments, I imagine, though, are quite difficult when you're saddled with these so-called legacy costs, health and pension benefits, for more than a million retirees and their dependents. Other companies have abandoned their pension plans when they got to be too costly. Is this something that you have considered, and might you have to consider this in the future if you want to continue to make these kinds of investments?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that people not on the inside occasionally suggest. That doesn't feel right to me. I feel like we have a responsibility to the people that work with us. We have a responsibility to our shareholders. You know, total pension plan is in the range of $90 billion, and that's more than fully funded as a result of the commitment of those huge resources over the last 15 years. And now we're working on the health care obligations, which are very large and, frankly, formidable. We've worked with our union to try to reduce those somewhat, and we need to work some more in that area. But we think the right solution is to work our way through it, not if you will, toss in the towel.
Given some of these difficult issues that you're grappling with, there's a statement that you hear time and time again from the analysts who monitor the auto industry. They say that GM's hands are essentially tied, that even if the company does everything perfectly right, even if the planets line up for you, that you're still cooked. Tell me why they're wrong.
Well, to be honest, nobody foresaw 15 months ago that we would be able to take actions, many in conjunction with our union, to reduce our cost base in North America by $9 billion. We need to do more of that, but I think it shows the kinds of things that when we need to make the big moves, we sit down and figure out how to do it and get it done.
Given the tough issues, was or will bankruptcy ever be an option?
It's not an option that I think is at all attractive for GM. We're a consumer-based business. People have the option to buy a lot of different cars and trucks, and I think we'd have a devastating impact on our revenue if something like that were to be undertaken. So we've explicitly said we don't believe that that's the right strategy for the company. And, you know, again, if you look back 15 months ago versus today, I think, you know, even the harshest critic has to conclude that we have moved the needle dramatically. We certainly have more work to do, but I think we're showing that we can fix this business the right way.
Some have made the argument that what's bad for the auto industry is bad for America. The auto industry has long been a driver of the American economy, and I guess you'll pardon the pun there. But what, if any, role does the federal government have in helping the auto industry survive this rough patch?
I would say that the policies of the government have tended to lean towards a bias towards freer trade and open markets, which we think on balance is a good idea, but in some ways ignores the fact that other countries do not allow their currencies to be priced by the market, so give, for example, Japanese manufacturers significant competitive advantage by the systematic undervaluation of the yen, would be an issue that we'd like to see our government more proactive on. The health care cost crisis in the country, it hits us very hard. We think there's a lot of areas where government leadership could help make sure that our health care quality goes up while the cost goes down. So there are certainly things that we look for even stronger leadership from Washington on, but by the same token, we recognize a lot of these issues are ours to fix, and we're fixing them.
I'd like to ask you about the new electric passenger vehicle, the Chevy Volt, a good-looking car. After essentially pulling the plug on a previous project, the EV1, why did GM decide to invest in this car?
We think the time is moving to be right. The advancements in battery technology have moved at a good pace over the last decade or so. So this issue of having a battery which is capable of powering a vehicle for an appropriate range, for example, is, let me say, more optimistic than what we had back 10 years ago. And I think the good news is the work we did on the EV1, subsequent work on hybrid systems that we're bringing out even as we speak, has given us a better knowledge base and come up with what is, we think, a very innovative, what we call E-Flex system, which is electrically driven vehicles. And then we wrap the beautiful car, the Chevy Volt concept, around that to demonstrate to people that we see a vision of an industry that can rely on a diverse source of energies and offer it up in a product that is exciting to consumers and doesn't require consumers to make trade-offs other than being willing to have different forms of power that go into the vehicle other than just gasoline.
We should say that this is a car that can use gasoline, but also you can plug this in at night. But as you know, Mr. Wagoner, skeptics will listen to your explanation, and they're still going to say that this looks like a good PR move for the company, in part to counter all the negative press GM received for ending the EV1. And this is still a concept car with no definite deadline for production. So I guess the question is, are you really, truly committed to developing this car?
Yeah, this stuff about I really chuckle at someone who thinks that we would do a product like that to respond to criticism about stopping producing a car 5 or 6 years ago. If someone's got that perspective, we should really think about what their motives are. I can tell you, we bring this to this show because this is a breakthrough idea, and when you add it to the fact that we've got 12 hybrid models that we'll have in the market in 07 and 08, we're leading in biofuels, the application of ethanol. This is a company that's serious about addressing the issue of the reliance of the industry on imported oil. And I guess there's always going to be cynics out there, and you know what we can do is execute our plans and show people.
Mr. Wagoner, thanks so much.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
That was Rick Wagoner, chairman of General Motors. He spoke to us from the North American International Auto Show at the Cobo Center in Detroit, Michigan.